Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It is 109. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Now, listen, I tell y'all what, I can't help it. I am still on a high from Black Entrepreneurs Day a couple of weeks ago. February 3rd, 411 registered African-American business owners from across the state met me at the Capitol for a day of rallying and lobbying and lunch. And, you know, it was an amazing time, but it was before the stalemate ended. And so none of our DFL legislators were able to meet with their constituents. And you know, hats off to Representative Robbins and so many others, Representative Nash in the Republican Party, Representative Walter Hawkins, that came down and met with business owners. And they were great. I mean, they were cordial. They were kind. They heard information. They took it back to their offices. They made connections. It was beautiful to see. But, you know, ain't no fun if your homies can't get none. So I was just not going to be deterred. So what I did was I set up a lunch with members of the House DFL and Black business owners at a Black-owned restaurant in St. Paul, right across. It's an Ethiopian restaurant right across from CHS Field. And it was amazing because Representative Hortman was there, Representative Green came, and Representative John Marty met us there, talked to business owners. And it was almost like we called it Black Entrepreneurs Day 2.0. And it was just so exciting to see people engage with the DFL representatives that they didn't get to see at Black Entrepreneurs Day. And I'm so glad we got a do-over. I'm so glad Representative John Marty was there. And he is here right now joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Representative Marty, thank you so much for taking the time to have lunch with us that day.
Yeah, Shaletta, glad to be with you. And I was glad to hear your interview with Garrison earlier. He's a gem, as is Claire, his spouse. So, yes.
Yes, he is great. He is great. And what was great is that you met up with the Black entrepreneurs after the official day at the Capitol, since you couldn't come to the Capitol at the time. And you had lunch with us. There's about 20 of us there. You know, what were some of the concerns that you heard?
I was hearing from people who have all the challenges in terms of getting, their opportunities, that so many people that don't have lobbyists and others at the Capitol aren't always heard by people. And that's why we have to reach out and do that. And your Black Entrepreneur Day, I think this is, your third one or whatever, but it's growing every year. And when you say there were 400, I mean, that's an incredible amount of people who are eager to connect. And so it's very important for legislators to talk with them, hear their concerns, see how we could be helpful and how we can address concerns they have. Because when you mentioned in your earlier interview that Garrison is the first African-American man on any county board in Minnesota history, you can see how some people have been left out of the economy over the years and out of the political system. And so bringing these entrepreneurs to the Capitol is so important, and I appreciate that.
Well, we appreciated you listening and talking to the business owners, offering advice, being a listening ear. Sometimes all it takes is you know, collaboration and coming together and being in a room and having somebody encourage you. And it just, you know, I just have to say it meant so much to everybody just to have you there.
Yeah, well, thank you. And thank you for what you do with that. You're a good advocate for radio personality and other things. You do so much advocacy on so many things. I mean, I remember when you were putting out those books with your kids. They're educational, and it does so much advocacy as well, not just for kids, but for everyone. And
yeah.
And I happen to think kids' books are a good learning experience for everybody. As adults, we ought to be reading more kids' books.
You, for real, because, baby, that Dr. Seuss got some life lessons in it, don't it? Huh.
No
oh, the
kidding.
Places
no
you
kidding.
Will go.
No
I read, I buy that one for my high school graduates at church. Anybody who's graduated from high school, they get a copy
yeah,
of Oh, the
that.
Places
yes.
You Will Go. Yeah. Now, we've been talking about Black Entrepreneurs Day, but I want to pivot and start talking about some of the things that are going on in the house. You guys just get back to work, but there are some ideas that you've been, you know, just kind of pushing and getting behind, including that Minnesota get into the sports betting. Everybody is talking about it, but some of your concerns, and it's some concerns that a lot of people have about protection and how to deal with the predatory nature of bookmaking and the large number of people who suffer from problem gambling. As a result, how do you propose to address that?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd like to point out to people that, hey, sports betting is legal in Minnesota already. You can bet with your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. You can bet with strangers. You can bet with anybody on anything you want. What they're proposed to legalize when they say legalizing sports betting is legalizing the sports bookmakers, the ones who arrange the bets and who profit off of that. And some of these national firms that do that, they tend to be predatory businesses. And the problem is that by advertising and marketing and pushing people, most of the people who gamble don't bet significant amounts. They're not very profitable for the sports books. But some people lose control of it, and the addiction is just as powerful as alcohol or any drug addiction. Matter of fact, it's far more. I had a hearing a couple of weeks ago, and we had a presentation about how a woman who got addicted to this, she was getting calls and so on. Whenever she tried to get away from it, she'd get calls from a VIP concierge who would call her up and offer to loan her money or give her a gift or something else. When people are having trouble with it, they pounce on them. And to me, we've got to do something to stop this. So I proposed a bill that the committee last week voted down the main sports betting bill on a tie vote. And they heard my bill. I didn't ask for a vote on mine. I just asked them to listen to it because I said, we can put some restrictions in here. We can put protections in here. And one quick analogy, if I can take a second on this, one quick analogy is that if you go to a bar and you've had too much to drink and the bar serves you more alcohol, they are in deep legal liability under our dram shop laws. This is kind of as if the opposite was in place. You go to a bar, you've had too much to drink, and hey, we got a happy hour 2-for-1 special for you, Buster. We got free drinks for you right now because you're such a good customer. If they did that, I mean, that's in effect what the sports book industry does when somebody's struggling with addiction. They offer them loans or free bets or other things to entice them to do more. And I want to make sure that if Minnesota is to legalize the sports bookmaking, and that's an if, but if Minnesota is to do that, I want to make sure we have all kinds of protections for kids, for people who are struggling with gambling addiction and so on. And so the committee defeated the main bill. That doesn't mean it's dead for good, but it defeated the main bill. And my bill, I did not ask for a vote on. I said, I'm happy to lay it over. I just want you to hear the concerns I have and to make sure if we decide to do this, that we do it with protections.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, there's some other things that you're working on, including campaign finance reform.
Mm-hmm.
More with Representative John Marty when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
He's been working, he's been working. Representative John Marty is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And you've been doing a lot of work at the Capitol. The DFL just got back after a long stalemate. But you've been doing some stuff on campaign finance reform. Talk to me about that.
Sure. I've been trying for years to try and reform campaign finance because I think money shouldn't talk. Corporations are not people. They shouldn't be making campaign contributions, determining who's election. And money is corrupting our political system. When there are three people who have as much wealth as more than half the nation's population have, three individuals, and they can make, one of them made, Musk made $277 million in campaign contributions in a few months last year. That's beyond the realm of belief to people. That's 2 million times plus what an individual contributor who might be able to give $100 can give. And I want to change our political system to the way I think it's supposed to be, where people are the ones who are voting, not the powerful interest groups. And so I've been pushing, and I got a hearing voted out of committee last week to a resolution of the U.S. Congress. Resolution doesn't guarantee anything, but it's a start. And that is to say the U.S. Congress should be working to amend the U.S. Constitution to clarify that the First Amendment does not mean money, unlimited money, can affect elections. That's what I want to change. I can believe we can do that. And so I passed that out of committee, a thing saying that basically we'd overturn the Citizens United decision. So we say corporations are not people and money is not free speech, so that people make the difference, not those with the most money and power.
Now, Senator Marty, you represent Roseville, but I know that you do look out for all of Minnesota. That was very evident when you came mm-hmm. to Black Entrepreneurs Day 2.0 mm-hmm. and met with some of the business owners, heard their concerns, shared and lended your voice and expertise talking to them. Again, I so appreciate the opportunity that you gave those business owners. And a lot of your time is going into budget and the challenges that, you know, the budget has, especially given the chaos and, you know, potentially deep cuts that are coming in on the national level. Talk to me about what you've been doing with the budget.
Sure. Well, we're just beginning to now put together a budget for the next 4 years. Minnesota is one of the few states that looks out more than 2 years for the budget, and we see some potential problems up there. And that means we have to address them. And I'd rather we start addressing them now rather than waiting and hoping they go away and knowing they could get worse if we don't address them. So I've been trying to put together, getting colleagues to put together what a fair budget would be. Well, I think the $1.9 billion potential problem for the next 4 years is addressable. It's not fun, but it's addressable. What worries me is, as you mentioned, the chaos at the national level. You know, we're hearing all these things where they're laying off people, the cuts to the University of Minnesota and the research. What about the cancer research and other trials in there? They're going to lose a lot of these things right now. Those kind of cuts, the state can't make up for all of them. If the federal government cuts out Medicaid, which helps people who are low income and seniors and people with disabilities, if they cut back on that even a fraction of a bit, that could just throw state economies and state budgets into chaos, including our own. And so I'm very troubled about that. But we can't control the federal government. What we can do is control our own. And so we're trying to work together. And it'll be a bipartisan effort to make this happen. The legislature is narrowly split. But I'm comfortable that we can address it if the federal government doesn't pile on so much harm that we can't possibly meet that.
And, you know, I was reading a story and it nearly broke my heart. I have three children with autism. You and I talked about this earlier.
Right.
And I work with a lot of schools and universities because, you know, the number of special education teachers is going down every single year. It is a challenging job to be a teacher. Right. And then when you also add into that, that you're educating children with special needs, it gets downright difficult.
Right.
And so, you know, the numbers just aren't there. Right. And so, you know, St. Thomas has this amazing program with special education teachers. And I think there were like 11, 12 students who were, you know, who got federal grants to be a part of a program that would allow them to get educated to graduate with a degree in special education. And, and that program got cut. I almost lost my whole mind. What in the hell?
What are we going to do if people do this? It destroys our future. All kids, including all kids that have disabilities of various types, they all deserve a bright future, and we can give them that. We know how to do it. And all these things, the University of St. Thomas said that they were being told they had to cut out a program they had trying to get more teachers of color ready for teachers' licenses and so on. And they're just saying, hey, we're going to have to shut this down? They're just going to cut off all the federal funding. They were promised this money. They start doing it. And all of a sudden, that's why I think it's right to call what's happening at the federal level chaos. It's just kind of, hey, we're going to cut this. What's it going to have the impact? Oh, we don't care. We're going to cut this. And as you said, the people with special needs, students with special needs, people who are more vulnerable in many ways are the ones who are going to be the first ones hit and the worst ones hit in terms of some of the actions that the federal government seems to be ready to take.
Now, I've got to ask, did you work with U.S. Senator Tina Smith? You know, she is retiring.
She is a gem.
Okay, talk to me about your relationship with her. Talk to me about your work with her.
I got to know her best when she was working first as Governor Mark Dayton's chief of staff, and then when she became lieutenant governor and then headed off to the Senate. But she was always one who would speak out. And I remember when we were trying to change some of the laws in terms of driver's licenses for all and so on, that when Dayton was not there yet, Tina would come and meet with us. And with Senator Bobby Joe Champion and myself and others, she would meet with us and try and talk us through how to help us move forward. Tina was always there caring. And so I've been thrilled to have her as a U.S. Senator and proud of that. And I understand her decision to step down now for family reasons, but I'm glad she's going to give us the rest of her term still, because that's important.
And, you know, what she did was show women that what was possible. You know, Minnesota is, you know, such a beacon in having two female U.S. Senators there. Talk to me about that and what that means for women in politics.
Sure. Can I say one thing about this? And that is that when you look at that, Betty McCollum was only the second woman in Congress from Minnesota in state history. Only one person before Betty McCollum. And then Betty was only the first, the second one for a long time. And then we got a whole bunch of others. And now our congressional delegation with two U.S. senators is mainly women. It's really nice to see that. It's very nice to see that. And I just keep hoping that it continues to change. I mean, I've been around for a long time, and I remember how women were not a novelty, but in terms of elected office, but were very few and far between. And our society has gotten much better as we've included more people in society. And Tina is one of the newer ones of them, but all of these folks, you have to call them pioneers because there's nobody before them who did it. And it's wonderful to see. And so, and yes, everybody has to, because going into politics is a sacrifice. People see some of the glamour of it, but it's a sacrifice, takes people away from their families. And Tina, I don't think she expected when politics, when she agreed to serve as chief of staff for Mark Dayton, I don't think she expected she was going to be in elected office herself, let alone lieutenant governor in the U.S. Senate. But she stepped up to the job well and very wonderful woman.
Yes, indeed. And I appreciate you being here. Thank you for all the work that you do on behalf of Minnesotans at the Capitol. And we will continue to talk. Keep me posted on the work that you're doing and the bills that you're introducing and what is going on. Senator John Marty from Roseville on the Shaletta Show. Thank you so much, sir, for the time.
Thank you so much. And thanks for all you do, not just in broadcasting, but also in advocacy for others, for Black entrepreneurs and people with autism and everything else. So thank you.
All right. You're welcome. You have a great weekend. Y'all stick around. We'll be right back. One group that always expresses themselves is the Sound of Blackness. They have been recording and winning Grammys and representing Minnesota well for decades. So proud of that group and the work that they're doing. Now, you know, in the first hour, the first guest I had on the show was Patty Aiken, who has been with the Sounds of Blackness for about 30 years. She's doing a little Shop of Horrors with Theater 55 in St. Paul. And so, of course, I had to ask during the commercial break, hey, Patty, what's going on with the Sounds of Blackness? She said, oh, they're in the studio today. I said, oh, really? Well, I got to figure out what's going on because I'm nosy and I like to know what folks are doing. So I figure I get Gary Hines from the Sounds of Blackness on the show. He's joining me now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Gary, I just have to ask, sir, what's going on? Y'all recording some new music? What's happening?
Well, first of all, belated to Happy Valentine's Day, Queen Shaletta.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even say, hey, I'm so nosy. I got excited. I thought I got me a little scoop. I didn't even speak to you.
It's all good.
I didn't speak to you because I get excited when I get scoops. Okay, so hey, how you doing? What's going on?
I am, as we speak, in the studio of a gentleman who does the sound for you at your church fellowship, Mr. Carl Diemer of Atomic K Productions.
Yes.
And yes, so a shout out to you from him. And we are laying some tracks for a new forthcoming single called Unstoppable.
Okay, now you got to tell me about Unstoppable because I just feel like that might be my new theme song. Okay, who's singing it? How'd you write it? What's the inspiration? Y'all heard it here first. Sounds of Blackness is working on a new song, and we even got the title to the track, Unstoppable.
We do. And we don't have the vocals on it yet. Like I said, we're literally just laying the foundation now, what we call pre-production. You know what that means. So that's for those that don't know, that's just the starting point of recording. So we're at those early stages for that. And Unstoppable Shaletta is about really people, inspiration, motivation, certainly at a core of it, the African-American experience, but something that everybody can relate to, that no matter what is put up against you, and especially all of the barriers and rollbacks that are happening in this day and time, that we've been through it all and we are still unstoppable.
Wow, that is going to be amazing. Now, when will you all start laying down the vocals?
Actually, we'll be doing some recording this coming Tuesday at HSRA, High School Recording Arts. So shout out to HSRA. And that actually will be for another project we're doing. We're doing an anthem for the great organization Twin Cities Rise, and that's also the title of that song, which was also done here at Atomic K, Twin Cities Rise. So we've got a couple of things going on as we prepare next week for a few of us to go and represent Sounds of Blackness in Los Angeles at the NAACP Image Awards, because our current single called Thankful, written by our own Jamecia Bennett and Buddy McLean, is nominated for an NAACP Image Award.
And so you're going to be leaving, what, like Wednesday or Thursday to go to LA for this big award?
We are. We'll be taking off Thursday and representing Sounds of Blackness and representing, of course, as you said earlier, Minnesota. And this is a chance to thank you and CCO and the entire region and state for supporting Sounds of Blackness. This month is actually our 54th anniversary.
Wow. Okay. Now, this is the NAACP Image Awards. Sounds of Blackness is up for an award. They'll leave on Thursday. We need to keep y'all in our prayers because we definitely want you guys to win this award because you represent Minnesota so well. And 50 plus years. This month is the anniversary of the group. A lot of people talk about leaving a legacy and a history. What do you want the legacy of the group to be?
We want the legacy, Shaletta, to be ongoing, first of all. Professor Mahmoud El-Kadi told us years ago at McAllister College when we were first starting, a shout out to McAllister, by the way, for Sounds of Blackness to be more than just a band, but to be a cultural institution. And so right now, many of our members are actually offspring of original members. So this is really Sounds of Blackness second generation, and we want there to be a third and fourth and fifth into the future.
And the one thing that I appreciate about is that you all really pour into the young people. You work with young people. You bring them in. They're a part of the group. The group is 50 years old, but you've got 20 and 30-year-old people. How important is it for you, Gary, to make sure that young people get an opportunity to sing and be a part of the group as you travel the world singing these uplifting and inspirational tunes?
Queen Shaletta, it's extraordinarily important to incorporate our youth and to work with younger groups. One of the ones that also records here at Atomic K is None Above, the Great Family Band. We've been blessed to have them a part of our shows and videos and recordings, and us to be a part of theirs. Forgiven, and of course at HSRA when we did Royalty. And so that's an ongoing legacy of Sounds of Blackness, to always involve our youth.
And it is so important that you do that and give so many young people hope. Okay, now we all know you're going out there to LA for the NAACP Image Awards. Sounds of Blackness is up for an award. Now, you got to tell me this, two things. Which award are you up for? And number two, will you prepare a speech? Do you already have something kind of prepared in case you win, or do you go up there and wing it? Like, what's your methodology? Because Sounds of Blackness has got Grammy Awards and so many other awards. And I often wonder, like, when y'all are getting ready to go up there, did he write something down? Did he memorize this? How do y'all get ready in case you win?
Well, to answer your questions, Queen Shaletta, our category is in the recording category, and specifically Outstanding Group Traditional. And we're up against some heavyweights. And to answer part two of your question, no, I never prepare a written statement. I just let the Lord speak through me, if we're blessed to win, and go and roll with it like that.
All right. Well, I cannot wait. I know you're gonna have it on social. Have you picked out your outfits yet? Because I know Jamecia, she probably like got all the glitter in Minnesota and put something together, and she's gonna be fabulous. But what are the rest of y'all wearing? Do y'all coordinate? Does everybody kind of do their own thing?
It is so great that you asked that, because our stylist, Stephanie Hardigan, everybody calls her Stevie. A shout out to her. She's based here locally out in St. Louis Park. as we speak, is designing some outfits for us for the red carpet. And again, just four of us are going to represent the group, but she's making those outfits for us so that we can not only represent Sounds of Blackness, but Minnesota as in the grandest fashion as we can. And then we want to invite also everybody to the Minneapolis Institute of Arts on March 7th, because the great Alicia Keys is bringing an exhibit here, and we'll be providing the music for that great event.
Oh my gosh, yes. I have heard about that. I have seen the billboards on the buses, and it is just going to be amazing. And you guys are going to be doing the, oh my God, that's going to be fun. Okay. All right. And then that way, okay, so you got, okay, so here's an idea. If you win, right, can you bring the trophy with you to the event at the Art Institute? And then that way we can all pick it up and take pictures with it and feel like it's kind of ours too.
Queen Shaletta, your wish is my command.
All right, there we go. We got a date. Gary Hines from the Sounds of Blackness. I know you got to get back into the studio to finish this track, Unstoppable. But please promise me, number one, that you will bring the trophy to the Minneapolis Institute of Art. But also, when you got that track, send it to me so I can play it on the show, and then we can get together and talk about it.
You have my solemn promise. You will be the first, and I promise you that. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Gary. And thank y'all for listening. Don't forget, we've got another hour and 15 minutes of the Shaletta Show. When we come back, you will not believe how much folks are paying for these Beyonce tickets. Stick around. I'll tell you. I tell you what, Beyonce had better be glad that her concert is at the first of the year, because she's going to get everybody's tax refund money. Fans are saying that they are paying various amounts for their tickets for her Cowboy Carter tour. Now, in New York and L.A., they're paying around $500 to $1,000. Houston is looking at somewhere around the $500 mark. Atlanta, upwards of between $500 and $1,000. But people have paid as much as $3,000 for VIP tickets. Why the mass discrepancies between what folks are paying? If I'm in Minnesota, I ought to be paying the same ticket prices as somebody in Houston. It should not be such a big difference. Oh my gosh. And they're saying that folks are paying around $500 for seats in Atlanta. But the same section in that same stadium, it's around the same row, somebody else paid $1,700 for the seats. It's ridiculous. You know, I don't know about you, Lindsay. My first concert was New Edition. It was at an outdoor arena at Astroworld in Houston, Texas. And I remember clearly paying $20. I worked at McDonald's. I saved my coins and I was able to buy a ticket to the outdoor concert. It was great. But if my daughter is counting on Beyonce's Cowboy Carter tour to be her first concert, and she thinks that I'm going to pay $500 or $1,700 or $3,000 for a ticket to go to a show, she's going to be watching that Beyonce Bowl video on Netflix until she's able to buy her own tickets.
Yeah, she should have thought of that a couple summers ago, right? She should have been saving up this whole entire time. But I mean, it's such a transformative album. It won Album of the Year at the Grammys, which was obviously a really huge deal because she's been nominated so many times and hasn't taken home the hardware. And I really enjoyed that album as well. And so I don't
enjoy $500 worth, though.
I know. Well, maybe you could do what some of the Swifties chose to do during the Eras tour if they couldn't get into the stadium. People were just hanging out in parking lots nearby and listening to the Echoes. Would that be something you'd be interested in?
No, ma'am, it would not. I'm too old for Echoes. I'm over 50. We have talked about this. It's just certain things that women over 50 are not going to do. One of them is hang out in a parking lot at a concert and hope that you can hear what they're singing and saying. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. It's the principle of it, though. A $500 concert ticket. And I'm not saying Beyonce's not worth it. Don't get me wrong. I don't want the Beehive to come for me because she has some very dedicated fans. But my daughter's musical taste buds are not developed enough for me to pay $500 for her to hear anything. She's not listening for musicianship, and she doesn't really understand or know whether or not the music is live instrumentation or backtrack. She has no idea about any of those things. She's 10. And so while I would love to, while we're visiting our family in Houston, take her to the Beyonce concert, I just cannot in my heart of hearts justify a $500 concert ticket for a 10-year-old child. I can't do it.
Hey, and it's not just the ticket, Shaletta. You just think about the parking. You think about probably some snacks and drinks, maybe before, maybe at the stadium. And then there's the outfit. I got a feeling that there might be some cowboy boots involved, maybe a hat or two. And that stuff is not cheap, even when you go diving at the Goodwills and other places where you find fancy stuff like that.
And then you got to think about the swag. Once you get in there, you're going to want to buy something that says, hey, I was at, the Beyonce concert and, I survived Cowboy Carter tour, whatever they're selling is, and those shirts are expensive. And so when I was at Huntington Bank Stadium, Lori and I went from Lori and Julia and we hung out and, we went as girlfriends. We had a great time. The tickets were about 2 yards, but we're both the grown adult women, so we can afford that. We did spend some time picking out our outfits. We got in there, like you said, we bought snacks, we bought drinks, had a little drink. And, I bought, shirts and stuff for my kids. And she bought something for her boo and herself. And so, all total, we rode the train, we had to park. It was probably a $500 night. But you got to be a W-2 employee or run your own business. I just cannot justify to my poor daughter that at 10 years old, mommy's going to get her $500. She would not get Christmas until like 2030. I'm sorry. You got to make some sacrifices. I just can't see doing it, guys. I can't see paying $500 to take my 10-year-old daughter to a concert. I don't know if I love anybody that much, including my beloved Cameron. Okay, we've got an entire hour of the Shaletta Show coming up. You all stick around because you don't want to miss it. See you after the break.